So, I've been playing. I have a Game Boy, like the original Game Boy. I'm holding it up. You can see it right now.
Yeah, I see it.
I've talked about before on the show, and I've started playing it again a lot recently.
What games?
Tetris.
Tetris.
And just Tetris.
Dead ass.
Tetris, dead ass.
You ever play Tetris 99?
I did on the Switch. It was okay, but like just something about playing Tetris
The
on
classic.
the original Game Boy, and every Game Boy was shipped with a copy of Tetris. It was like the additional game you'd get with the console.
Really? I didn't know that.
Kind of like
That's
Wii
pretty cool.
Sports, and there wasn't really any for the Switch, but yeah, I've just been and I play it to the point where like my thumb starts to hurt in the button and the D-pad and.
Holy man.
Yeah, I told you I've been playing a lot of Tetris. Also, the battery life, I have these Energizer Max batteries in it because this device does take four AAA battery or yeah, four AA batteries.
Yeah, I remember those things.
And it's I'd say it's gone through maybe 5 hours of playtime. I'm wondering at what point it will die. But no, I'm ordering a new screen for it because the screen on mine's all scratched up, or a lens, it's not the actual screen. But the plastic lens is really scratched up, so I ordered a new one and I'm gonna replace it. And when I do that, then I'm gonna start playing Pokemon Blue, because I wanna play it with a fresh screen and a nice crispy clear Game Boy screen.
Dang, okay.
So
Okay, crispy clear.
crispy clear. So I'm gonna wait
Playing the
to I'm
classics.
gonna wait to replace the lens, and then I'll play some other games. Tetris, though, I'm okay with playing it with a scratched up
Man, I
screen.
was thinking about playing fucking Pokemon today.
Dude, I think there every single day of my life, just maybe if it's the slightest, smallest thought, but somewhere in my brain, it's like, dude, you should probably play Pokemon,
Just
even if.
gotta like refresher.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited because I played Yellow on my 3DS. I bought the eShop version. And I played Yellow on the 3DS, and I mean, it's a fun game, so.
I mean, yeah, it is fun. The simplicity of it, the complex simplicity of it is nice.
I also, because I have the SNES and NES Classic, and I got those both maybe, it's been 2 years since I got both of those consoles. I know the NES Classic came out in like 2017, and the SNES came out in 2018, so I got them both over 2 years ago. And I brought them back out for the first time. I haven't played them really at all. And I started playing Donkey Kong Country with Meg because that was
Oh, that's a
that,
classic.
yeah. And that was a game I remember Meg and I would play at your Aunt Taffy's house. She had an
Bro, that's what
SNES, and we would play,
Dylan and I
yeah,
played.
we would play Donkey Kong Country on the SNES. And
That's
so
wild,
it's been
dude.
fun. We've been playing that again. I started playing Super Mario World on the SNES. I got my dad to play some Donkey Kong on the NES Classic. Like
Dang.
it I mean it's Nintendo just has a bunch of fun games. We yeah,
It has
so
family games.
they're family games too, yeah. Like me and my sister can play them and both enjoy it. It's a rare thing to find, I think. And Nintendo does a good job at that. But
I agree.
anyway,
Good job, Nintendo.
good job, Nintendo. Pat yourself on the back. Good job, Reggie.
Reggie, well done.
Well done. Anyway, we got a great show for you listening today. So
Great show.
why don't we
Great show
just
planned.
great show planned. It's planned out. We know everything that we're talking about. It's all planned out.
Everything that's going to happen
We
is
note
all there.
down to the words that we're going to say.
We even know how we would transcribe it. Like, how
Yeah.
would we dot the I's?
It's all prepared. And we're gonna get into it after this little tune by Kudo. So why don't we start off with that Reddit, the good old Reddit question. This one's asked by user Tree Whale Fall, three words. all combined into one big word. And their question is, what is a vehicle in the zombie apocalypse that is overlooked? So like, for example, whenever I think of zombie apocalypse, the first vehicle I would want would be a Hummer. Big car, fast, strong. But what vehicles are overlooked, Connor? What vehicle would you be like, I don't think that would be useful in the zombie apocalypse, but maybe it is.
Well, I think a tractor might be really good, like a big ass tractor.
Big tractor. You can get the blades on the front, get them going.
The one that take up the entire country road and that you only see on country roads.
Yeah.
And whenever you see them, you're like, oh crap, I either have to sit here and wait until they turn. Or if you're coming at them, it's like,
I need to get out of here.
Yeah. Because I feel like those big ass blades, it would help.
I think,
and you could fertilize your crops, fertilize the field.
It's a 2-in-1 deal right there.
It is a 2-in-1. But then maybe zombie cells might get in your corn, and then you'll become a zombie. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. You'd have to test it out
on
the animals or something.
Do you have any peculiar ones, Paul?
So the one I actually saw, this was a response I saw. And it was a oiled up Volkswagen Beetle. They can't even grab the car. How are they going
to
get in?
Okay. So you just have to make it really sloppy with
really slippery
like oil.
I mean, the Beetles are like, very rounded off anyway. So it would
what's that one?
It'd be hard to like
Lohan movie.
Herbie. Yeah.
It's kind of like having Herbie, just you know, a slippery Herbie.
Slippery Herbie. Yeah, you can't grab the car because there's no real defined edges.
Yeah.
So you can just drive through them, easy. Unless you get them under the car, then you're in a problem. They might get stuck somewhere.
What about those giant, the beetle made me think of this. You know those giant balls that people play in, like the hamster balls?
Oh, yeah, that people actually go into. The big
They go inside?
And they
I
run
mean,
around.
Like, that'd be a vehicle in some sense. So if you could get that to be, I don't know, like bulletproof?
Bulletproof. I mean, that'd be interesting, for sure.
A bulletproof ball?
You could have, like, food in there. I mean, the food would kind of continuously swirl around with you, but
well, have you watched Steven Universe?
I've seen yeah. It's been a while, but I have.
One of Steven's powers is a bubble shield. And he can like create a hamster ball around himself. And he even floats through space in that thing.
Is that what we're trying to do? Just go to space.
I'm taking a new spin on the question. What's an unlikely vehicle in space?
Yeah. What vehicle would you take to space other than a rocket ship?
I don't know, a hamster ball. I feel like hamster ball would be good.
I feel like that's the only answer. Or you just get one of those
lawnmower. I don't know why a lawnmower feels like, you know, those zero turn lawnmowers.
The zero turns
could deck those up.
Yeah, those could do some work.
Get some.
You know, what about the now for this vehicle, you would have to be in a specific area continuously, right? It's one of those water jet packs where, have you seen those? The people are on the water jet packs and then go into the water, but there's a hose connecting them into the water, so they have a water source.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
So you could fly around, but you'd kind of be stuck in like one pond or something.
Well, that kind of seems like it'd be a little tough. I guess you just have to really deck out the pond.
The pond. It might be one of the, you know, the, I forget which episode of Game of Thrones, but when all the ice walkers are surrounding the crew on the other side of the wall, it'd be like that.
Yep.
And you'd have to find, just dragon. Just have a dragon.
Send a crow to the dragons.
Yes. We'll just use a dragon in the apocalypse. That'd solve.
Crows are really smart, actually.
Crows are smart. Like I've seen videos of how they, how they open stuff, and they're geniuses, or how they'll like throw certain nuts that they can't crack onto the road, so the cars run over them and crack them for them.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, whenever we try to define humans, okay, we look we look to like when humans actually became humans in the evolutionary train, in the evolutionary scale. And the thing is, using tools is not a distinguishing characteristic of humans.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it is
crows, we just gave an example of that, and like elephants, I know, crows definitely use.
Chimpanzees use strains of grass to dip into ant hills, and then the ants will be on it, and then they just like slurp them off of it.
That's genius. Yeah,
it is. But the distinguishing characteristic would be art.
That's true.
So the earliest, so like, it's like they look for like artifacts. Like they're like, they'll find like a carving in Africa of like this, or like cave paintings or the classic ones that you always hear of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, yeah, like art in some way. Cause you can't really like see if, you know, a quarter million years ago, if they were singing or not, but like, I would say that's something.
Like sing just to sing. Like different,
Sing to sing, not to, you know, get laid.
Yeah.
Like birds.
Yeah. Birds, you know, they just...
They're just horny. That's why they sound so pretty.
Yeah, yeah. All the time.
I guess you could argue that's why humans sing too, but not at all.
I don't think it's solely for that reason, though.
Truth.
So you said you got...
That is an interesting... conversation.
It is interesting.
Yeah, what's up?
So you said you got something for you said you got the great from what I said, the message you sent me, you said this is the greatest topic we're ever going to have on the show. As what
that is what I said.
That is
exactly
it. You sent it at right before we started. Mm-hmm. You said, hey,
I said, don't worry,
I
got this. Back, relax on your swivel chair, maybe do a couple turns because it don't matter if you get dizzy, I got it. So here's the thing. I went to a poetry reading last night, and it's online, of course. So it's like, I guess I went to it, but I didn't go to it. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You attended.
Anyway, I attended a poetry webinar, and it was just a bunch of reading from different poets. And it was actually Native. So it was Indigenous peoples, Native Americans.
Oh, really?
And it's interesting, the lexicon that is built around like defining those people. Like, for example, like Indian has always been like kind of controversial because it's like, oh, but they're not from India. But also like they've kind of reclaimed that. But still, I'm not sure exactly where to. Usually what I go for is Native. It's like talking
Native,
about
I think
Native.
Native's a good term.
So, yes, these are Native poets. And they... One of the poets in their poem, they said, I'm trying to remember exactly what I had here. I have my notebook. I wrote it down because I thought it was a really good quote.
Yeah, that's what you do.
It's from the quote. Here, I'll even cite the source. I got this.
Oh, wow.
It's from Gwen Westerman.
Okay.
She's a poet, and she was talking in the quote from her poem, and I didn't know which poem because I was reading. She was reading it, so I didn't have like a physical copy. But anyway, the line was, they knew themselves from stories.
Ooh.
So it's kind of like the idea behind that I got from it is, it's like rather than like learning about what other people have done, but like learning about like yourself, learning things that like you knew about yourself or that you learned about yourself.
Through other stories.
So, yeah, and the question, I posed this question, there's a Q&A, and I posed this question to Gwen.
And she wrote it?
About, like, no, well, she wrote the poem.
Okay.
And there was a Q&A for the webinar, and I posed this question. I'm trying to remember how I worded it exactly, but it was kind of like, you know, this is the quote that you said, and I'm curious about what stories have impacted you in this way, have, like, revealed themselves to, like, strengthen your understanding in yourself and of others.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how has that impact changed you? So my question for you, Paul, is what is a story that you feel that like you knew yourself because of the story? It's not that like you understood another person, it's that like you learned something about yourself in the story.
Okay. I gotta
and you can be as specific or an as big as ambiguous as you want.
I gotta think. So that, this is a thinking question.
It is a thinking question.
It's definitely a thinking question. I gotta. I'm looking at. You see me moving my head back and forth. I'm looking at the books I have right now to see, like, oh, okay, how can I relate to the different characters?
So books.
That's how,
like, we could just talk about genres, even like books, poetry.
Yeah, that's,
we can talk about
that's kind
movies.
Of where I go to when I think of different stories. It's just like, what books can I? But I guess also you could relate to movies or shows or really anything in that matter.
Oral stories.
Just like, stories told.
Like stories. One of my favorite stories growing up were like my dad would be telling stories about like things that he's done.
Oh yeah. Listening to my dad or grandma whenever she would tell stories. Like I love hearing those.
And like, because there is something that is like unlocked by your own understanding of yourself.
And now that you brought that up, when I think of like when grandma would talk about our grandpa, I find myself kind of in tiny ways relating to different interests he had. You know, she said he was always buying the newest technology and was super interested in that. And, you know, I'm always kind of interested in what's going on and all the new stuff. And she always said like he was more creative. And I mean, look at us, we're making a podcast. That's pretty creative. So that's one person I've kind of, through what she said about him, I'm like, oh, okay. I see some relations there. Now you got me. See, I said books, and then I said movies, then TV shows. So now I'm trying to cycle through all of it at the same time.
I had a friend ask me once, like, what's the book that is most you? Like, that describes you the best? I was like, what the crap question is that?
You're like,
such a hard question. It's like, how about I write my own book? That'll be my answer.
I'll write my own book. That'll be, you know, the book's about me.
But it's cool. And, you know, I don't want to put words in this poet's mouth for Gwen, but like two interesting things that she said were like the kind of root at what she was getting at was like that cellular memory. So like it's like inscribed in your DNA. So it's like, you know, you made up a good point bringing up grandpa on that, because there is like a connection that we have with our roots, with like our heritage, that I think is inescapable, because like literally
tree.
it's like almost like a reincarnation with the next generation in a way. Or like that Harry Potter or it's like, as like generic as it is, and you know, this is just like really, it's in like our generation's consciousness. Is like at the end of the third book, whenever Harry casts his own Patronus, and he's like, oh, that was my dad, but like, nah, it was you, Harry. It was his dad in a sense, because like his dad lives on in him. Sorry, my roommates are getting a little loud. I don't know if you can hear them in the background.
No, it's all right.
Anyway, so the like that like identification through like genetics, I think, was really, really impactful for me. And then the other thing that she said was the land.
Oh, okay.
And learning stories from like your surroundings, your environment. And here's a thought.
Okay.
So I don't know. Think about like the stories that the stars tell, or the stories that the cicadas tell, the stories that cats tell whenever they meow at you, whenever you hear a coyote howl, or whenever you hear the frogs hiccup in the ocean, not in the ocean, in the ponds. And you know,
crickets,
it's really easy for me to relate.
Chirping.
Relate with like this land, and you know, the land that now is called America, and before, what was it called? I'm not sure.
Was it called anything?
Well, before people, who knows?
Yeah.
There were people here before we were, though.
That is true. That is true. Yes.
And I think we forget that.
That is true. Yeah, people
like
kinda...
like, and you can see that in names like Tuscarawas. That is a native word.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what it means. That's like kind of, it's embarrassing, really.
I'm spelling it wrong.
You're looking it up?
I am actually looking it up. It is believed to be a Delaware word meaning old town or open mouth.
We do have a river.
We do have a river. That's why it's called
the Tuscarawas River. It is the Tuscarawas River.
There we go. Wow, look at that.
Or even broader than that, like Ohio. But like so many states are freaking like native. They're just native words.
Just native meanings, for sure.
And we don't realize that.
Yeah,
that's really...
I mean, yeah, the
what do you have to say about the land?
I mean, I think it is really neat when you think about how far back that history goes, where, you know, you talked about, like, for example, the Tuscarawas River. It's been there for, I don't know how long, but it's been there for quite some time. And I drive past it every day on the way to work, and I hear it, you know, sometimes when I'm outside. And you kind of think back. Okay, going back to grandpa, or my grandpa heard that river. My great-great-grandma heard that river, right? So it's cool how you can find some things that just kind of extend past your lifetime, and you know it's going to go past it as well. So I know that's, I'd assume that river's going to be there once I die. And just finding... like things like that and that continue on throughout, or the crickets chirping, you know, those of, or the cicadas, they're going to be back in, well, now it's
17 years.
Well, yeah. 17 years.
But they, and, every 17 years they come.
Yeah. That's something that I think super is interesting, especially the cicadas, you know, the 17 years, it's just so, it's really like when those come back around, when did those come the first time? 2015, 2016, when they popped up.
I mean, it wasn't the first time. It was the first time in our working memory.
Yeah, and that we remember. And then the next time we're going to be, you know, late 20s, early 30s when they come around again. So I think it's cool finding those kind of repeated things throughout just the landscapes that they're in your life and they're in everyone else's. Like, that's not something just unique to you in a way, but they can be, you know, if you dive into it a little more. So I guess that's something I gotta say. Also, I do not know if I'll be able to pull off a name of a show or movie off the top of my head.
It's
super difficult. I know there are, like, I know there's been a book where I read it or a show that I watch or a movie, and at a certain part I go, I kind of see where I that's what I would do, or you know,
it's
that,
like you,
that's
you
very
like you
familiar
have a thought.
Yeah, that's eerily familiar to what I would do. Or I've definitely had those moments for sure. It is hard to think of one in the moment, I guess.
For sure it is.
But yeah,
what are some of your favorite like creators? Just creators, artists.
Yeah. I'll start off with, I guess, directors. One of my favorite directors is Christopher Nolan. I think he did like Interstellar, Inception, very like crazy ideas. He definitely dives into just crazy ideas for his movies. I really respect him as an artist. I think he makes some really cool stuff. And we also, I guess we forgot to mention music as well, in terms of, you know, finding, I guess that's probably where it happens the most is through music, where I listen to a song and I'm like, that's me right now. And I think music is probably the most common way for people to connect with directly themselves, like hearing a song and they come to the realization that song's, it fits perfectly for them.
Right.
You know, you'll commonly have like at weddings, maybe someone will have that song that's about them played but I think in music that definitely happens a lot. See, now I'm trying to think of music, different songs. I think that could be easier. if I looked into it to find a song that relates to me.
But yeah, I always have you ever done this? It's like people ask you what kind of artists you listen to or what kind of music you're like. You're like, oh crap, where's my phone? I need to pull up Spotify.
I need to go to Spotify and see what I have. Yeah.
I totally feel that.
Like thing. I wanna look at what songs I got downloaded, mm-hmm. and I mean the one artist I always like there's a couple artists that when I listen to them, and I've talked about this before too, but it takes me to like a different level. I don't know if it's because maybe I'm relating to it or what. Maybe it's the composition, the wording. But there's a couple artists where when I listen to them sometimes, that like I just feel like I'm in a different space.
Right.
Obviously, I always bring up Demon Days by Gorillaz. Kind of listening through that album is a whole experience. You know, I'll put on my headphones and listen to that every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Another just artist, Coldplay, usually... Usually when I listen to Coldplay music, it's like, oh, wow. You know, Coldplay music is just so fun. And they have some really interesting, cool songs, I think.
Do you listen to Drake?
Drake? Yeah, I listen to Drake.
So Drake, and I've talked about Drake. I think I might talk about Drake a little too much.
Oh,
because,
right.
Like, you know, Drake, he's pretty generic. He's a generic artist.
I would say so, yeah.
And his lyrics are very generic. And this is specifically just to talk about his lyrics, is that they are relatable in such a sense that they can almost pinpoint exactly how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Or at least how I'm feeling. Because yeah, it's yeah. like, oh, like you're talking, it feels like, and I'm trying to think of like one of his quotes that, like, kind of just like, whoa, like, why does that feel so spot on to what I'm seeing right now? But I would just recommend, like, listening to, like, Drake, like a Drake album.
It's yeah,
like,
his music. Another artist that comes to mind is Paramore. Some of their songs, I'm like, oh, I relate to that. You know, like, they have some pretty, pretty interesting songs.
I'm almost embarrassed by how much I relate to Drake. Like, it embarrasses me.
Connor, you are Drake.
No.
You are Drake, Connor. You are Drake.
No. But I do like Drake. He's not like my favorite.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy listening to him.
But he's definitely like, I just need to vibe while I'm making eggs in the morning. I'm just going to put on
Drake. Yeah.
I haven't had coffee yet. So let's listen to Drake.
Let's just listen to Drake. Give my brain something to just work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. There's definitely those artists where you just put them on to put them on.
Mm-hmm.
My something, whenever we would get ready for dinner or anything like that, we have an Alexa in our kitchen. And usually, I would say 80% of the time that my parents or really 80% of the time that Alexa's playing music, it's music by John Mayer. they'll just say, Alexa, play John Mayer music, and it'll play John Mayer music. And yeah, I think John Mayer music is a very, you know, you don't need a, you can just have it play in the background, and that's like, it's a very, you don't need to focus too much when you hear that kind of music. Now the music, when you do listen to it, and I think that it does go play in part for Drake too, when you do like actually seriously listen to it, you do find like connections, like you said, with the Drake music or with the John Mayer music, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I was in my poetry, like I'm in a poetry class right now. Actually, it just ended. I'm like at the end of my quarter, by the way.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. I don't know about you.
I'm like half a week left. So it's like, oh man, like I got a lot of stuff to do by the 24th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's a little stressful. More like for working than it is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
But where was I? So poetry class, someone said something like, oh, did you intend to do that, like intend to say that? And it's like, hey, you know what, if you are crediting me for intelligence that I did not know I have, I'm all for it.
I will totally do that. Oh yeah,
I will take to be the foster of those ideas.
I just kind of wrote. Yeah. I definitely, whenever talking amongst friends, and sometimes I'll just start saying something, And to me, I'm just kind of, oh, you know, going on and on talking about whatever. And then they'll be like, that was really like deep, or that was way too smart for you. And I'm like, hey.
Now.
Hey.
Dude, just randomly saying deep stuff.
Yeah, saying like randomly saying smart or deep stuff, it's always like, ah, nice. I do got it in me.
That happened to me once. I actually have a story of that. We were maybe I've told you this story, maybe I haven't. Maybe I've
I
told you
wouldn't
on the
know. Maybe
podcast, maybe
you
I
gotta tell
haven't.
me at first, Connor.
Okay, so it was at Disney and it was backstage at Disney.
Okay.
And it was like I was at Thoughtful Spot, so I was doing a Tigger shift. And Tigger, let's see, everyone who's in that break room is Tigger, Pooh Bear, because they meet together, obviously. So it's Tigger and Pooh, and then it is Meredith from Brave,
Okay.
Tinkerbell, I think. No, not Tinkerbell, Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And then like Peter Pan might come in, but I don't think Peter Pan's the usual. Like, I don't know. I don't understand the schedules when it comes to Peter Pan. It's weird. But the consistent ones, the ones that are always there, are the Tiggers, the Pooh Bears, and the Merediths. So
Okay.
that's like the people you normally see. And my Pooh Bear, like, she was my partner for the day. And she's from California.
Okay.
So she grew up going to Disneyland, not Disney World. I
Yeah,
worked at Disney World.
two different spots.
So we're in Florida, and one of the ever famous things, one of the popular items at Disney is the Dole Whip. Have you had one of these before, Paul?
I'm gonna look him up. I actually don't think I have.
It's pretty much just like a pineapple root beer float. Just like without root beer, it's pineapple juice.
Okay. I see it, but
I think, if I'm remembering
I have not had
correctly.
this.
And here's the thing, I don't like Dole Whips. So they're talking about Dole Whips, and I'm like,
Okay.
oh my gosh, I do not like these things. And then my Pooh Bear, gosh, what was her name? I think it was Elise. Sorry for the shout out. I don't know. I don't remember your last name,
Sorry
so
for the shout out.
still the thing is, like, she was saying, because she's from California, oh, I think that the Dole Whips taste better in California. And I said, like, just straight off the back, I was like, yeah, everything tastes better in the past. And everyone was like, whoa. They're like, dude, that was really deep. And I was like, wait a
That's
second, was it?
a joke I would make.
But like, it's, I don't know, like, right? Like, everything tastes better in the
I mean,
past.
that is a yeah, that like you were saying it as a joke, but then it was interpreted as this deep philosophical statement.
Exactly. And the thing is, I kind of get it, because my vibe in the break room
Oh, I
was
get it too.
I'd be on my notebook and I'd just be like writing the whole
They're
time,
like, what's he
because
writing over there? It has to be next level.
I always had a book, either a book or a journal, and I'd be writing or reading. And
Yeah.
like, I just kind of like look up from my journal. I was like, nah, everything tastes better in the past. And everyone's like, what
Who's
the
this
heck?
guy?
They're like, holy crap. But yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, I think
Have you
it's.
heard that one?
No, I
Have I
haven't.
told you?
I think it is funny though. You bring up the past statement because I don't think we've ever stated this on the show. So myself and my friend Ripley, we just call him Ripley. That's what we'll refer to him as in the show.
I know, Ripley.
Connor knows Ripley. We always make jokes about Connor living in the past because he's in
You mean
Chicago.
Ripley?
What?
Oh, me. Yeah,
You.
sorry. Yes. Me, because I live in the past because the
Ripley and
time
I
zone
always make
changed.
jokes about Connor living in the past because he lives in Chicago, which is 1 hour
Yes.
behind.
Yes.
And oh, they're so funny. Like
Mean, I guess.
something will happen, like an announcement will come out, and you know, we would say, "Oh,
Like the
Connor's got
breaking news.
yeah, breaking news, this happens." And we're like, "Oh, Connor, you gotta wait an hour for this to happen, be ready," or something like that.
Like, yeah, in an hour this happens. It's like, oh, interesting.
Look out, Connor.
Interesting.
it's really funny stuff.
Man, just wait. A friend of mine's about to move to Japan. Like, they're doing in like a Dude, your face. You're like, what? You're like, is it me, hopefully?
Can I go? Japan, let's see.
Tokyo. See,
Oh,
they're
Tokyo's so cool.
actually, they're so far back in the past, they're in the future.
They're ahead 14 hours, Connor.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're actually in the future by 14 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So the news there must happen like mega, mega fast happening.
Oh,
like,
man.
Dang. They get cutting edge.
They get the news a day ahead of us. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to like get updates from my friend from Japan. They're going to Tokyo.
My Paul John and his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I would talk to Paul John while he was in China, and I would also talk to his parents on occasion. But they live in Hangzhou, which is. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm coughing. Which is 12 hours ahead, and it was always interesting to like schedule or like times to talk. So it'd be like 8 p.m. and or it'd be like 8 p.m. and I'd text Paul John like something stupid. Hey, what you doing? Whatever it would be, and he'd begin it at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Or I would sometimes or what would be the equivalent to FaceTiming him at. Like 9 p.m. for me, which would be 9 a.m. for him, and he was never awake that early, so he would answer, be laying in his bed, and he would just answer like, "What?" And he'd be like, "Oh, buddy, you still sleeping? Oh, come on, buddy." You know, I would just mess around with him.
And what time do you wake up in the morning, Paul?
I try to get up at 8:30.
8:30. Yeah. I've been waking up at 7.
Today I got up at 7-ish. Yeah. But that's because I went to bed really early too. So I usually don't.
What's early?
Now I gotta check. Making me check.
You have a sleep schedule. Oh yeah, you actually do. You freaking wear an Apple Watch.
I went to bed at 9:41.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, it was pretty early.
That's very early for me. It's very early because usually.
So you slept like 10 hours last night?
Yeah, it was it's a long sleep because usually I go to bed at like. At least midnight or later. And I didn't. So.
Wow. Oh,
look at that. I always try to get like 7.5 hours of sleep. That's the recommended, right? For people my
Yeah,
age.
I think so.
Yeah. I try to stay on that schedule. So.
Average. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Segways, boom, slap you in the face, punch you, deck you, bloody nose,
bam.
I woke up with a bloody nose today. We got dry air here, man.
Ooh, use a humidifier.
That's a good idea.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here for the good ideas.
Christmas list. Humidifier.
Yeah. Humidifier. I have one, not in my room right now, but I've used it.
Yeah, it's like good. Like, if you're sick.
Yeah, that's when I used it, when I was sick. Yeah, they definitely help. They help with the snot bubbles in your nose.
Okay, so let's pop one of those bubbles into a would you rather question.
Yeah, let's just get on to it. So remember last week I said there were two options for the would you rather?
Yeah, let's do the other one.
Now there's only one option, and this is the other one that we didn't get to do.
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather be and I want you to really listen to this one, okay? Would you rather be a strawberry with human thoughts or a human with strawberry thoughts?
Bro. You asking me if I'm going to be a himbo? But like worse, a strawberry bow?
Strawberry.
Have you seen that? Like himbos? Are you familiar with himbos?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Maybe not on the show, but I think you brought it up because we talked about Chris Hemsworth being one in.
Oh yeah.
In that, what was it?
Okay, I could see him being a himbo. That was in the 100th episode.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, we just talked about it.
So yeah,
but like you gotta be more specific. It's strawberry thoughts. So what?
I know that's even worse.
What do strawberries even think about, Connor? You gotta start there.
Dude, I don't think strawberries, they don't have neurons. Like, does a hand
you
think?
Could, you here's my answer. I would be the strawberry with human thoughts because think about this. I am just a super smart strawberry. I'm smarter than all the other strawberries. So I'm on the top of the pyramid in the terms of like strawberry intelligence.
Do you have? Can you communicate with other strawberries?
I would assume so, right?
What do you talk about?
Strawberry thoughts, dude.
What's like strawberry drama like? Yo!
Yo, did you see that strawberry last week? Oh, man.
The seeds on that?
Oh, man. Did you see how many seeds he had? But also...
That is crazy. Strawberry seeds on the outside.
I would be such an intelligent strawberry that it would be... It would have to come to the point where scientists realize that I'm a super smart strawberry. And they develop some type of machine where I can talk to the human world as a strawberry. And think about the influence I could have. The world's first talking strawberry.
That would be badass.
Like, everybody would listen to what I have to say, too, because I'm just a talking strawberry.
You'd be like freaking cyborg, but like, strawberry.
Give me a Twitter account. I would be the talking strawberry and millions of followers. You know that.
Oh, my God. Right? Like, what would you even talk about?
Talk about anything. I could talk about
issues. What issues would be most important to a strawberry? Air pollution, probably.
Air pollution. Guys, we gotta lock down.
So it would be all air pollution jokes.
Not all. Because you got it's you know, human thought. So you just think about random stuff too, right? So I could be like, okay. Yo, guys, did you just see that presidential debate? That could be a tweet.
How long could a strawberry, like, how long does a strawberry have? You only got so much time as a strawberry. Someone gonna freeze you?
I feel like this strawberry would get like special longevity.
And then what if you got eaten?
Well, that's the thing. If you're a super smart strawberry. I would assume you wouldn't get eaten if you're the smart strawberry.
I disagree. I think you'd be a helpless... You know when people say... Okay, so let's look at the inverse of this. Whenever they say that you're like a potato, you're like a human,
you become
a potato, that's like no brain function.
Yeah.
So if you... So the inverse of this... So I think I would agree. I would be the strawberry with human thoughts. Because the inverse of this would be... just a corpse that is alive.
Here, Connor, have you seen Rick and Morty?
Are you talking about Pickle Rick?
Pickle Rick, but you're a strawberry.
Does that mean you get a face?
You know, the lines aren't very blurred in this question, okay?
Because all I'm saying is, and how do you eat a strawberry? So, because I'm thinking of like getting eaten. That is my 100%. Worst fear is to get eaten.
To get eaten.
And how humans eat strawberries?
They just bite them.
You bite them? You do it all in one bite?
Well, that's true. They could chop us up or bite us in half.
That's a lot of. So I feel like my main.
But here's the other question, Connor. Do strawberries feel pain?
Oh. Existential pain.
Yeah, maybe. maybe because you have human thoughts, you realize you're getting eaten, you create pain for yourself through that.
Right.
That kind of
maybe.
Happen.
Like maybe if you don't have nerves, or would the strawberry like have human anatomy just as a strawberry? Like you rip open the strawberry and it's bleeding, and you see like this heart pumping in the middle.
Yeah,
of it.
The lungs and.
Still, I would be super scared. I think my Twitter account would just be me, like, it would be me as a strawberry, like, being terrified on the different ways that humans would kill me. And then, like, just bringing up any single time, like, a strawberry recipe comes up in the news, I'd be like, holy hell, like, what if they bake me into a cake? God damn it.
I do not want to become the strawberry banana smoothie. That is not what I'm looking for.
Like a smoothie, exactly. And then it's like, oh, you could just get straight up chopped up. You could get, like, there's so many different ways people eat strawberries. They're ridiculous. I could get, you could get turned into powder and then put into a freaking.
I think by the time you get turned into.
Scratch and sniff shirt.
I think by the time you're turned into powder, though, you're dead. You're dead strawberry.
But could you imagine, Paul? Could you imagine?
What being a
could you imagine knowing the fact, like it's like you're getting taken to the scratch and sniff factory, and it's like, oh man, this is how I'm going. It'd be like if you're a sentient chicken and you know that you're going to the slaughter, bro. I mean, I guess all chickens are sentient in a way, but also not.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I just don't like the imagination of
it's a tough question. But I think I would have to hold on to my human intelligence.
I agree. I think so too.
So
the wonder of being human is the mind.
Yeah. So I would take the strawberry form and hope that I can find a way to make it work.
Okay. I really don't think so. Like, you see how strawberries are packaged and they're all like in this, like they're in like those plastic things that you open up and has like a lid. It has a lid that's still attached to the, and it's all see-through and it has holes that go through it. So can you just imagine like someone opening up that lid and then you're like getting run under cold water and then like being shot.
We're getting waterboarded.
Rolled down across the cutting board. And then you just like literally see all your brothers and sisters just getting chopped into not one, not two, but like 40 different, or like, you know, 8 pieces. Like, what the Miles Davis? Holy crap, dude.
I still think if you were a sentient strawberry, you would find ways to not get into that situation.
How would you manipulate your environment in any way? You would just be on like a tree. It's not like we're scanning them. It's not like we have this metal detector going around and being like,
this one just did
some multiplication. Holy shit.
Multiplication.
Oh my God. This guy just quoted Hamlet. Fuck. We have to save the strawberry.
That's what I would hope for. Maybe you just start off. Maybe you're a created strawberry in a lab, right?
Oh, I like that. So it's Frankenstein the strawberry.
We're the Frankenstein strawberry. You know, we were made in the lab. We become sentient after some procedures.
Okay. So rather than like having some kind of divinity, like...
Yeah, rather than being born into a tree. Yeah, just being born into being a smart strawberry, you were created by man.
You were created. You're a man-made strawberry.
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, that would make sense.
I think
the story holds up.
There we go.
The fear, much less, I would say.
Yeah, then you start having the conversations with the scientists about being a sentient strawberry.
I like it. Playing Sudoku.
Yeah.
Playing chess.
A3. I want to move the pawn to A3.
How would a freaking strawberry communicate?
I'm sure they would figure something out. I mean, if they're
smart, you have to figure it out.
You have to do it. If they're smart enough to create a sentient strawberry, they probably have some way to communicate with it, you know?
So in Frankenstein, the monster, and you know this because you've actually read the book, the monster is smarter than Frankenstein.
That's true.
So this strawberry, would it be that the strawberry is smarter than mankind?
I don't know.
Because you said human sentience. And, like, you know, Frankenstein's monster literally is, like, this mixed up body parts of humans.
That is true.
Sewn together.
It's kind of gross.
But turns out he's smarter than humans.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
I don't know either, man.
I mean, we've really expanded upon this question, I will say.
It is a good thought experiment. I did like that. I liked that quite a bit.
Yeah, that was good. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you for your time.
Hope you have a great week.
Your patience.
Yeah. All the stuff. And we'll see you next time.
Cool. See you.
Bye-bye.